On today's Restump podcast, we're back. Been in hiding for about a month. Plenty to talk to, though. Lots happened in the last month after the close out of the season. We've had some players wanting out. We've had the Doig. Peels in a grand final. Let's get the Chief on board. We'll have a chat about all that right after we start wearing purple with Goggle Bordello.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time, so yeah.
Welcome to the Restump Podcast. My name is Brett. Jojo McDonald, joined by a man who should feel very well rested. He's been in a good paddock, just having a rest, eating some grass, resting the feet for about a month now. That is Greg the Chief Dwyer. Mate, yes. You ready? You must be pumped. Get back on the mic.
Oh, mate, bouncing off the walls. You're going to have to tell me everything. I've seen nothing, Jojo, for about 3 or 4 weeks.
So, we've got a bit of explaining to do. I mean, let's face it. Whilst, I wasn't completely to blame or not to blame for the podcast not being recorded, I feel like you were the primary culprit here. And for a long time, you've kind of given it to me for holidays and, all the rest of it and not making a big enough effort, not making the podcast a priority.
Yeah.
What do you got to say for yourself?
Well, it was your fault. It was your It was your fault. I had to move house because of you. So
because of me?
Yeah. Because you kept giving my address out and I kept getting bricks through the window saying, neighborhood, watch this. So I had to move house, Jojo. And then everything that could go wrong went wrong. Everything that couldn't go wrong went wrong. So I had no
TV. You've got electricity now, don't you?
Barely. Hamster on the wheel. We're slowly getting back to it, but I missed the first week of finals, didn't see anything, and it's the first time in as long as I can remember, I think ever, that I haven't watched the finals, but saw the finals last week, and I'm slowly getting back on board, so.
And you're telling me you just saw the Dockers Hawthorn game last week as well.
I just saw that 3 days ago. I managed to not know the result for 3 weeks. It was good.
Do you know what? It wasn't funny, but when you were moving house and I was going to go get someone else to fill in and do a couple of bridging pods, I managed to get myself a strep and a staph infection.
You did.
I couldn't really be in the same room as anyone. It was a perfect storm.
Yeah. Wasn't it? What do you mean? Have you been hanging around in childcare centres again or something?
Yeah, I don't know how I got that.
Jeez, what's going on there? How'd you go? Did you survive or
what? Only just. When I went to the doctor, she said I had the equivalent of scarlet fever, which sounds like something you got in like the 1920s.
No, that's back in the 1800s.
Yeah.
There's no sewage system. That's when you got that.
Yeah, I don't know. We had some kind of like bacterial infection. I think it came from there somewhere. I don't know. He went to five-year-olds at school. You just get sick.
Yeah. But you build up a resilience now. Nothing will touch you now.
I hope not. I was sick for about 3 weeks.
You probably had too many jabs. That's probably what happened.
Yeah, maybe. Where do you want to start? There's a bit that's gone on. Have you got a brief comment on the end of the season for me?
Yes, I do. I went back today and I had a look, because we're sort of disappointed about where we finished. But it was a disappointing year, we know that. But I think it's a year that probably hasn't gone to waste. And I think it will have benefits in more ways than one, in terms of I think it might have woken the players up a bit in that – it's just not going to happen. You've got to make it happen. But then I also look back and I look at it, Jojo, and I think we beat Sydney in Sydney. We beat Geelong at Optus and at Skilled Stadium. We beat Melbourne at the MCG. Melbourne 22 scoring shots to our 19. Story of Melbourne's season. We lost to Brisbane by 3 points and we beat the Hawks at the MCG. So when you look at it, we won at five different grounds, you know, and five of our 10 wins were away. You know, for a really young group, that's a massive get. I reckon that's a massive get, and I reckon that's going to be huge benefit for this group going forward. So I'm looking at it thinking, yeah, this has actually been all right. It's not what we wanted, but when you look at it sort of in parts, I think it's going to set us up really well. And it's why I've been saying all year we're going to bounce big time next year. I think we're going to bounce substantially next year. So when all said and done, the disappointments, the shattering loss to North in round two, that was soul-destroying. The return of the Rory Lobb game that we got destroyed in, that was soul-destroying as well. And then the Giants, you know, took us to the cleaners. That were the lowlights, the real lowlights. But I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable now that it's all over. And looking back at it, I can see how we're going to bounce next year.
For me, it was the performance at Optus Stadium. And if you look at the stats, it reads horribly.
Yep.
But if you delve into it a bit deeper and look at especially the way we closed out the season, we lost to Port Adelaide at home. We lost to Brisbane at home. We lost to Sydney at home. We lost to Carlton at home. There are the four last home games that we played before we beat Essendon. The game prior. Those teams, and I know Sydney had been knocked out, but I mean, they were kind of coming home with a bit of a wet sail towards the back end of the season. They're all teams that are challenging here in the top four. So, I mean, your results are skewed a little. The results at home that really stand out, obviously, are the North Melbourne game you mentioned, the Richmond game that we lost. Yes. And then there was one other one. It was the Bulldogs one. So there's three games at home, 12 points, that I reckon we threw away.
Yeah, definitely. And you could probably, well, it wasn't at home, you could probably include the Saints game in that in round one as well. Yeah. So, but yeah, you're right. Three games at home that we should have. Look, Richmond were up and down all year. They were still good enough to get anyone on their day. So, and it did occur after the bye. I don't know whether that's a thing or not, but yeah, we should have put up a better fight against the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs weren't travelling that well at that time. So we should have put up a better fight there. And what was the other one you said? Oh, the North game. We just should have won that. So,
do you reckon so much of the season goes back to that North game?
Really does. Really, really does. That's what I mean. It was soul-destroying. It really took the wind out of our sails because, especially given it was on the back of the Saints loss too. So there were two games there. Losing that game to North was just because, as we said all along this year, that first six games was going to set our season up.
Yeah, and podcast experts and Fremantle Docker aficionados never get anything wrong.
It did set our season up, just not how we thought. So, but you're right. That North game really, I think it did some serious damage in more ways than one.
On the flip side of the season, and this will sound mean to Tabs, but when Tabs got injured and it became clear that Amos would just get a clear run out all year, and then Tracy wasn't far behind him and he got a massive block of games through this year, it probably should have been obvious to us all that was kind of it. You're not going to probably be taken to the promised land or the finals with a bunch of, a couple of 20-year-old key forwards. I mean,
That's right.
It's kind of unlikely, isn't it? But the performance and the games that those guys got into them, like, that's huge for next year.
Monstrous, isn't it? Monstrous. And that's what I mean. And then add in on top of that these guys won away. They won at the SCG, something we haven't done since God knows when. I can't remember. You know, we won at the MCG twice. We won at Skilled Stadium again. So it's like a double positive for these guys. That they got all this game time and then they did it on the road as well. So it's huge and pretty much across the board too because, you talk about just your forwards, but, you're Hayden Young. You're blokes like we're running around as 22-year-olds, 23, 21-year-olds, that we're able to do it. So it wasn't just the forwards. It was the backs as well. you know, Brennan Cox has got, you know, I know he's not young, but he took a step forward this year, you know. So I'm with you. I just think there were more positives to take out of this season than our, was it 13th, 14th position suggests
yeah.
on the ladder. So one of my extra highlights, Johnny, only played the last two games, Tommy Emmett, unearthing him. And I know we're probably going a bit early, it's two games, but he couldn't have been more impressive in those two games. And he slotted in like he was a 100-gamer, you know. So if he can, you know, take another step forward, I know he's a bit older, he's only 21, but he's 186 centimetres, nearly 90 kilos. You know, he's another one to add in. I think Bailey Banfield would be looking at him thinking, how am I going to get back in the team now? So,
which is kind of, once, I mean, I think we kind of mentioned this through the year. Like, once the point got to where Bailey Banfield would no longer be a starting player or a first choice player, and I think Emmett's kind of displaced him now, that's the kind of moment where you knew the forward line was starting to evolve and move into something it needed to become, right?
That's right.
I think that's the exciting thing. That's the exciting thing with Emmett, though, is that he's the kind of player we've been searching for since, forget this year, last year and the year before. Like, the difference make. He's kind of like that mid-sized guy that we haven't had. We've had smalls and we've had a couple of, you know, mediocre talls, but there's not much in between. And when he came in with that energy and effort, he's played better at AFL level than he has at Waffle level.
Yeah, he has, hasn't he? Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, he has. And he brings in that versatility and that big body, and, you know, he's not a, you know, one-trick pony that's got to stick to the forward line. He can get up on the wing, he can get back and help out. It's really exciting. I was just so thrilled when I was watching him. In that first game, you know how sometimes you can have a blinder and, you know, a pretty good game in your first one, then you can go a bit missing in your second. To see him better his first game with his second game, and again, we're basing, you know, it's a very, very small sample size, but there's just something about him. There's something about, he tackles hard, he makes good decisions, you know, when he's got the ball, for a kid in his first, second game. So it is exciting. I really think, as you just mentioned, he's that piece that it's just been missing. And I think we might have found him.
We move on. I mean, the next major kind of thing for us will be trade week. Mm. I suppose the first item on the agenda got brought up not long after the season finished, and that was probably the worst-kept secret in Fremantle docker footy, is that Liam Henry was looking to move.
Mm.
He did us a bit of a favour by nominating the Saints, though, I feel like. Not that he's looking to do us a favour. I just mean, like, by choosing a team like that in comparison to a team like North Melbourne, who have got a bit of leverage in terms of the preseason draft, that kind of thing, the spot where the Saints' first-round pick sits also is a bit awkward for them.
Right.
When they're coming in to negotiate at pick 12, pick 13, whatever it is, you know, instead of having your pick two or your pick three.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on Lamb? Are you disappointed to lose him, or kind of,
I'm shattered.
You just resigned to it and kind of happy enough to get something else through the door?
Yeah, I mean, you just got to be, you know, you got to come to terms with it. But, and I'm claiming it too, Jodo, called it a long time ago. I'm two from two. Adam Chera, Liam Henry said they were going. What it does is it sets us back again, Jodo. This is the problem. You know, our form, I think, came good as a whole when he stepped up and turned it on. And I think he wasn't the only reason, but he was a large part of the reason that we turned our form around this year. We've been desperate for a winger since 2019 when Ed Langdon and Brad Hill left in the same year. They've been holes we just haven't been able to fill. Okay, we let Blake Akers go, we'll get to him later, but you thought in Liam's form and the way he developed and evolved, especially this year, obviously, you thought we fixed it. If he stays, we fix one of them, you know? So now we're back to the drawing board again, and it is something that could have a pretty big impact on us next year if we don't fill it before round one.
When we lost Akers by not wanting to match the terms or the contract offer that that Carlton put forward, I remember Wolsey. I think he reeled off a few names. O'Driscoll was kind of head of the list,
yep,
in terms of who we had to kind of step up and fill the gap that was going to be left by Akers on the wing. We didn't see him this year, really. I mean, he had an interrupted start with injury, but then his form never really came to any kind of point that replicated or showed us what he showed in his year before, when we thought, you know, maybe this is just a set and forget option on the wing, which he's not just yet. They must hold out massive hopes that he's going to recapture some of that form from a year ago.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. You got to ask the question, did we make the mistake of going too early on these kids in terms of putting too much reliance and responsibility on them to become what they're probably going to become, but too soon?
I could put the hand up and say that, especially O'Driscoll, I thought after that season he showed, you know, the defensive run, especially the offensive run where he broke away and he kicked goals, looked really dangerous on the wing. I'd put my hand up and say I thought he was ready to roll.
I had the question mark open.
Yeah, you did. You did.
I did. But I didn't know whether I was right or wrong, though. So, but yeah, I think that's the thing. I just think
you could be forgiven. You could be forgiven for thinking that he was going to step up and do the job.
No, you could. You could. I mean, he had a great year, that first year. But I do. I think it's probably a learning curve again that you know, like what we were saying with, you know, Tracy and Amos up forward. It was silly to think they were going to carry us this year to the promised land or anywhere near it. So, and it's not fair to think that they, or to put that reliance on them. So we've probably done that in letting Blake Akers go. We've probably done that hoping Liam Henry was going to come on, hoping or believing that O'Driscoll was going to come on. You know, Aish could go to the other wing. So they probably had, you know, some stability there. But the other
I just went and sought out that, because I just vaguely remembered a quote from Wolsey in the lead up to trade week, or it might have been in trade week. He mentioned O'Driscoll, he mentioned Henry, he mentioned Frederick, he mentioned Matty Johnson, Kyle Warner, as well as Jordan Clark, Hayden Young, and Heath Chapman as guys that could potentially step up and play on that wing. So
okay, so they weren't just relying on.
Yeah, they didn't have a concrete plan in place.
No, but they must have thought they had pretty solid options.
Well, I think they thought they had O'Driscoll on one wing, and then they thought one of Henry, Frederick, Johnson, Warner will step up, and if they don't, then we'll have Clark, Youngy, or Chapman, and they can move up there. Chapman didn't really get on the park this year.
No,
Warner still looks a little ways off, and they even end up moving him to the half back line, I think, for Peel.
Yeah.
Matty Johnson for me doesn't look like a natural winger. I think we saw a bit of Freddie towards the back end of the year, and he looked all right.
Yeah, he looked good.
He looked like he showed us enough to go on with. Yep. But maybe Heath Chapman's the one when he comes back. I mean, he's the one that should excite Freo fans for next year. We haven't seen the best of him consistently, but what we have seen is what he's capable of at his best for a very short period of time. So, if we get anything like that, I mean, that he's like another top 10 draft pick coming in next year because we haven't got anything out of him yet.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But what about... just going to throw one at you. Could Brandon Walker, could he make it on the wing?
Maybe. I don't know. Like, I mean, he was so good as the lockdown defender.
He was.
And then he was able to run, use his pace and dare, which, you know, some people don't like. I don't mind it. Yeah. I used to love Scotty Chisholm running out of the back line. It was kind of reminiscent of that, like just grab the ball, tuck it under the arm and figure out what you're going to do later.
Yeah.
There was a bit in that in his game, I reckon. But I don't know. Maybe we'll see. If no one jumps up in the preseason and just stamps their authority on a wing spot, they'll have to give a few guys, different guys, a go.
Well, I guess it's like how we moved Hayden Young into the middle. You know, you put him in there and it worked. Now maybe they had plans to do that eventually. I don't know. But sometimes I think you pigeonhole players for certain positions. You don't find out that they've got the versatility or somewhere else they can excel at. I mean, let's say he came back. Let's say Brandon Walker comes back. Can Clark go to the wing? Or would you still want to leave?
Well, he didn't like playing. Wasn't that part of the reason why he left Geelong?
I thought it was because he wasn't getting the go.
They're playing him on the wing in the twos, and I thought he wanted to play across half.
He didn't like it.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know if he liked it, but no, you're right, and I think specifically with Walker.
Hmm.
You know, we were kind of critical of Wagner when he first came into the team, but towards the end of the year, he kind of found his spot. So maybe by finding one in the back 50 in Wagner gives you the ability to maybe have a look, you know, at Walker in a different position.
Because I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he's got the tank yet or what, but we know he's got the speed. He's got the skill. He can hit targets. So
yeah,
it'd be one to possibly, but.
The other thing is looking at trade. I mean, the one name that continues to pop up, you know, and was right there last year, and although it was dominated by Luke Jackson, our trade activity last year, but it was Jeremy Sharp, and his name's still there and thereabouts. And it's a very weird situation for him not having really played a game. I don't even know if he got on the park for the Gold Coast seniors this year. But, you know, he had some big games in the twos, out of contract, cost us next to nothing. So, it'll be interesting to see if they take a look at him.
Does he tick all the boxes, Jojo? You know a bit about him, don't you?
Well, I only saw him play as a schoolboy.
But you know, is there anything you know?
He was as natural a winger as I've ever seen at that level of footy.
No, but I'm talking, does he tick our boxes at the club?
Well, I don't know him well enough. No idea.
Oh. Was I not supposed to say that?
I don't know. You can say whatever you want. I don't know. I heard a bit of scuttlebutt and a bit of rumour that, you know, it got to the point where they could have got him and then they pulled the pin. But that may or may not be the case.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah. But that everyone hears stuff. I don't know. This could be rubbish. Personally, I wouldn't mind. If he cost us nothing, I'd love to see him in the purple. Just give him a crack.
Yeah.
Because I think he'd be real good. I think that... you know, he plays with natural width, and some of those guys can be hard to find because a lot of the guys we've even tried to put on a wing, even your Liam Henrys, I mean, they don't have a long history of playing junior footy on a wing.
No.
You know, O'Driscoll doesn't have a long history of playing footy on a wing. Even Akers, before he came here, we kind of grew him into a winger.
Yeah.
He played a little bit of wing maybe at the Saints, but I don't think he was, you know, a winger per se. So.
No, and... Yeah, he's playing the role pretty well now. I don't think you can really fault too heavily what he's done for Carlton.
No. Can we get to him in a minute? We'll just go back to Liam for a second. Right, in terms of what we're going to trade him for, how much does what we paid for him come into it?
Oh, this is my question to you because I've got no clue. There are two ways to look at it because you can say that we, you know, he was a top 10 draft pick or you know, whatever. But we've been claiming all this time that he was never going to go top 10. So it's probably a sense that you can't have your cake and eat it too. Having said that, we developed him and turned him into what appears to be a very good winger. So in terms
of... So you're saying you can have your cake and eat it too?
Well, yeah, well... On one instance, you can't, but then, yeah, I know. And why would you want your cake if you can't eat it? So, I absolutely have got no clue what you would ask. This is your bag. What, you know more about this stuff. What would you want for Liam Henry?
Everyone's opinions is equally as valid as the others, isn't it? I don't know. I think that by the sounds of it, it sounds like they are asking for pick 13 and a player, which seems a little exorbitant to me.
You're not going to get that. But you've got to start high, don't you? You know?
And you work your way back.
Negotiate your way down.
It is kind of funny that we're dealing with Ross, who I don't know how much Liam had to do with him because I don't think he was there up until the point where he actually got taken that year. Yep. And even those in the NGA, I think he dealt more with Tendai Mazungu and the crew of coaches. Like, he went to training a few times, and I'm sure he had some kind of relationship, but I'm not sure they're best buddies. But Stephen Silvani obviously liked him because he was the one that put in the stupid bid on him at Carlton in the draft. So, we get to deal with someone who obviously has a high opinion of him. Otherwise, you don't bid on him at that pick in the draft, do you? They can't be saying that we don't rate him too highly. He just wants to come here. We're trying to facilitate it.
Yeah, that's right. But what would be the lure to go to St Kilda?
That's the interesting thing, isn't it? I mean, they've got Wanganeen Malira, who looks a really promising player and has done really well this year. Our old mate Brad Hill, who he ended up – he played as a defensive forward at the back end of the I think it was the last game he ended up playing as a defensive forward. So, maybe there's a different role in the cards for him, or maybe Liam goes over there as third choice winger. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a hard one, isn't it? Something's caught his fancy, though. But, and going over and playing for Ross. And does he know Brad Hill? Liam know?
Don't know. No idea.
No idea.
But I mean, if it was true, the kind of things you heard about Liam, how he didn't like the structure and the constraint with which JL put on his role playing on a wing, it's like, I doubt you're getting much more freedom under Ross.
You get treads torn off you.
Maybe it's part of the new Ross.
Oh, okay. I think it's new Ross in front of the TV screens. I don't think it's new Ross behind closed doors. So, who knows? What's realistic then to get?
I still think something, if we can get something in the 20s to 30, or we upgrade our pick in the 20s to something in the low teens, something like that, that's probably a good result, isn't it?
So,
I don't know. Yeah. I suppose, you know, Lockie Weller going for pick two, you know, who would have said that was what was going to happen?
Yeah, that was a bit different, wasn't it?
Because you're dealing with the Suns.
Yeah, but he wasn't out of contract.
But I mean, but the fact he's out of contract doesn't really help St Kilda, or it doesn't really help Liam either.
Not if he wants to get to St Kilda.
No.
Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah, that's right. So what are you thinking? Tell me again. You're thinking.
Well, my preference would be, if we could upgrade our pick in the 20, what is it? North Melbourne's second round pick.
Mm-hmm.
We got that. If we could upgrade that to, you know, something in the low teens, or just, you know, move up in the draft and take another top 10, top 12 type player in the draft, that's what I'd be up to.
That's what you'd be looking at. Okay. All right. Let's hope it falls favourably.
And I think Freo is almost in the position now where you can go to the draft and you can either look at need or you can take best player available. They're not necessarily just having to go there and take best player available.
Mm.
Yeah, because they have filled a lot of positions and they have done a lot of good things. I mean, not too many clubs hit just about every single first round pick for 3, 4, 5 years, which they've done.
No, that's right. We nailed it, haven't we? So who would you'd have to go for, or needs a winger, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah. Oh, the other thing, I mean, a lot of times, and I know we don't have a specific need for another ruck or a ruck forward, but I mean, these kids that are under your nose, and Mitch Edwards has been under the nose, and he's been highly touted by, you know, and highly regarded by the club for a couple of years. They're kind of, you know, people have thought highly of him. So who knows? You don't know. I've got no idea. Yeah. But they can kind of pick anyone, can't they? Like,
pretty much.
I suppose you want to bat deeper in the midfield. So if there's a midfielder with a point of difference there that you like, you go for them. But
geez, it has to be like with what we've got loaded up in the middle. Surely that wouldn't be your first.
But you need it. You look at these teams that are challenging.
Hmm.
They do have that. You know, they do have 8-10 players that can go through that.
Yeah, but where do they play though? Elsewhere.
But this is the whole thing with this year as well. They're growing them in different positions, and that's why I kind of would like to see Erasmus play a bit more and play a little bit forward. You know.
Yeah,
growing these guys that can go through the midfield and play them through other positions, so you can get them on the ground.
Yeah, gotcha. So you get them, so you get some versatility out of them. You can swing them around and when you need to, if you need to.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other thing to do, I'm going to put the hand up and acknowledge an error.
Mm.
I think in previous podcasts we said that Liam cost us a points deficit, which shifted us back in the draft in 20, as well as a couple of late picks, which is not 100% the case.
Oh yeah.
When you actually delve into what the cost of Liam Henry was.
Yep.
I mean, his trade is intertwined into moving up to pick Caleb Sarong at pick 8 and losing pick 10, so that we didn't have to use the points from pick 10. Like, it's very complicated.
Yep.
But I think if you're going to be 100% accurate, he probably cost us a couple of late picks, a point deficit, and then one and one point something picks. Yeah, well, in the second round. Yeah, 1 point, yeah. Maybe even close to 2 second rounders, depending on what value you want to put on
Caleb Sarong.
Caleb Sarong. So we put the hand up and we got that wrong.
Got fact checked. Someone sent it to me and
have to put the hand up there.
Yeah.
Don't mind being wrong. I reckon that's could bring up the triple figures some point later this year for times we've been wrong this year. Raise the bat. No, but it was complicated. It's kind of fun, and so that kind of prompted me to have a look at all the picks that we moved around that space and the picks that moved. So the pick 10 that we traded, I think we combined with what pick 28 that we got from another trade to move up to pick 8. The pick 10 that we got, that came from the Brad Hill trade, which we also got Blake Akers in.
Oh, right. That was part of that.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It's funny. It's just like a revolving door of picks. And then so we got Blake Akers, who then we got a future third for, as well as the pick 10, who went to Melbourne for us to move up to pick 8, and they picked Kaziah Pickett. So
even the picks are Pickett.
Yeah. What do you want for Liam? Would you want another player? Is there a player at St Kilda who you think will just give us him?
Yeah, I'll take Wanganeen Malira. I'll take him. He's a jet.
I don't reckon he'd come, but would you be interested in a Jade Gresham?
Oh, I'd take him any day of the week.
You would?
Yep, absolutely. He's not that old, is he?
He is 26.
Yeah, that's not. For our age group, he can fit in there. They wouldn't let him go, surely.
Well, I think he's a free agent as well. I think, is he a restricted free agent?
Oh, possibly. I don't know.
They might have the ability to match.
Oh, you'd take him too, wouldn't you?
Probably not. No.
Jeez, I reckon he's all right. Because he's got that versatility.
Yeah, he does. I like him as a footy player.
Hmm.
I just think for where we're at the club, I like the fact that we've got our own guys and we don't really need to bring in any other guys in now. He's got to me, he's not 100%, but to me, he's got like Colin Sylvia vibes to him.
Oh, jeez.
Colin Sylvia was a good player.
Yeah, he was, but wow.
I don't mean any of the off-field stuff or any of the issues he had. I just mean, like,
do you reckon you go to another club and it's virtually curtains for him? And I mean on-field. I mean,
I don't know. He kind of struggled to have an impact a lot of the... Like, he had a few good games.
That's probably what he needs. Games. He probably needs a fresh start somewhere.
Ross traditionally would get the best out of this, that kind
of
guy.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Like, when he went there, I remember in our fantasy league, I picked him up straight away. I thought, oh, Gresham, he's always kind of almost been there his whole career.
Yeah.
It was like, with Ross there, he'll find a way to give him a role where he'll absolutely... use all of his skills and attributes to his full ability and have a ripping season.
That's a good point. Yeah, never thought about that. You just know the talent he's got, and if it did come out for 2 or 3 years, man, you'd win that trade every day of the week then. So, don't know.
We missed the Doig. Josh Corbett won Best Clubman. Jai Amos won the Beacon Award for the most promising young guy, which no real surprise there. But nice for Josh Corbett to win Best Clubman. He's been going all right at Peel as well. I think he kicked 5 the other week.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, good. After he probably underwhelmed a little bit with his opportunities in the senior team.
Yeah.
And then the winner of the Doig, Caleb Sarong. Big surprise there.
Yeah. As big a secret as Liam Henry leaving, that one.
The surprise for me was Luke Jackson finishing 4th. I thought that he would be probably 2nd and probably not as far off Sarong as what we had imagined, but he was actually a fair way back from Caleb.
Yeah, but he didn't. It was sort of the last half of the season.
He fell away. He did fall away a bit, didn't he?
Yeah. So. Yeah, you can kind of understand. He had
some games, though, where you'd think you'd just get all the votes.
Yeah, you did. You did. But, mate, yeah, obviously not enough. But I think we undersold Andy Brayshaw a bit this year. He wasn't at his best, but he was still, when you go back and look, he wasn't at that ferocious best, but he still was. He made 143 tackles, Jojo, 30 more than the next person. You know, so, and that's a positive because think of where he's going to be next year. He'll get back to 2022 form next year.
Did you know how we, I think with him, because I think, were he and Sarong like number one and two for possessions this year? Something like that.
Yep.
In the year before where he won the AFLPA MVP, he had so many moments in games where he stood out.
Yep.
The chase down tackles, just so many individual moments within a team structure where you're just like, wow, you know, this guy's something else.
Yeah.
But was it because there was no other real midfielder doing it?
Like, yeah, maybe.
Sarong wasn't quite there yet. Mundy, whilst he was very good, was more of a steadying influence rather than a highlight machine.
Yeah.
There was no one else really in there like kind of stealing the spotlight. And
maybe
with the two of them there, we didn't notice much. I still think, like, whilst he was very busy and, you know, you just mentioned the tackles and we mentioned the possession numbers that were there. But I just feel like those individual moments, they didn't come along until the end of the season. He had a really slow start to this season. It took a while for him to get warmed up. Because he did do a little bit of it towards the back end of the season, but the impact of him on the game and his imprint on it wasn't as great as the year before. No way.
No, that's exactly right. And that's what I think is the positive here, because I think his knee problem or his ankle, whatever it was, that really impacted his season. He couldn't get going. And, you know, they were trying to not mention it, and then it ended up coming out. And I think it was 6, 8, 9 weeks till he was sort of getting over it. So, I mean, if you're carrying a knee for half the season to start the season, you're behind the eight ball to some extent. So it made sense that he came good and was you know, reproducing those moments that you're talking about at the end of the season, towards the end of the season. And he'll carry that into next year. And that's why I reckon, you know, part of the rebound next year will be, you know, on his shoulders too. So
In JL's remarks to the club through his speech at the Doig, again, he reiterated the idea that this off-season is going to be filled with strength and conditioning and coming back in a state that will give the next season a real good shake, being in best physical condition we can be in. It doesn't really go away, this issue, for me. And I know you're the same. The fact that we probably didn't come back in as good a nick as what we could have, whether it be injury or attitude or whatever it was to start this season, he just keeps on putting it into everything, the fitness and the strength.
Yep.
Like you said, this season has to be a wake-up call for these guys. And they're lucky they get it when they actually didn't really have a premiership at stake it came at a good time.
That's right. And because I'm looking at this two ways. I'm thinking, it's disappointing because – you know, you're out there, you're playing footy, you want to, you know, this is what it's all about. But then I'm going to cut them some slack because I'm thinking they're a bunch of impressionable kids. You know, and I know I've been banging on about that all year. But when you've got a whole group of kids, you know, and they're exposed to the, you know, the temptations of letting your hair down and putting away one too many lobster tears, Jojo. They, you know, it's got to be difficult for the players to really, at that age, to show that discipline off-season. Because, I mean, you know how hard it was when you still find it difficult to toe the line, Jada. But when you're a kid and you're 20, 20, 21, 22, and your mates are there and you're going to nightclubs and you're doing this, that, it's got to be a lot more difficult for kids at that age to, you know, understand where they're at and what they're doing, and what it will mean the following year. And it's got to be difficult for the coaching group and the fitness and conditioning crew, you know, dealing with a host of kids in that manner. So I'm hoping that was the blowout. They had the blowout. They may have matured up. They got a wake up call. They may have matured up a little bit and they're a bit more disciplined, and driven, you know, in this off-season coming up.
So we're calling for 200 100s on Christmas Day this year to make up for it?
200 100s.
Yeah.
We don't want to kill them before the end of start next season. But, it could be maybe more of them will get to that this year. You know, who knows? But I think if we were, I think that age range matters when you're talking about something like this, because if you come back when you're 25, 26, not in good shape, 27, it gets hard. It gets harder to get that back into that condition. The fact they've sort of done it when they're 22, 21, whatever, I think, you know, you can cut them a little bit of leeway and I think they'll rebound this off season. Don't you?
Oh, I'll be crossing everything in the off season so in hope that that's the case.
Yeah. Maybe we've got to make you think. If you see someone out in the drink, go and let them know about it. Have you seen?
I don't think so.
Don't do that. That's just silly. Don't do that. Jeez. Hey, you know you were talking about the Doig, Jodo?
Yep.
Caleb Sarong might have won the medal, but the real winner on the night was Joel Hamlin. Joel backed the winner there with Mrs. Hamlin. She was absolutely fence panels above the field. I didn't actually know who won what awards, but I went and did the red carpet reviews. So I thought Joel Hamlin won, and I thought Jago Romero came second. Well, he came second early on the night anyway. Later on, I bet he didn't.
That's not all Joel Hamlin won. He won a couple of Sienna's vouchers on the weekend for, I think he won Sport FM's best player of the day.
Did he really?
Yeah.
In the waffle?
$100 at Sienna's. Do you know, you can go to Sienna's in Leederville. I think it's like either Tuesday or Wednesday, and they got $5 shots.
Oh, great. There goes the off-season. And he got $100.
Yeah. I've never been so concerned. I shouldn't turn this into a restaurant review podcast, but yeah. I've never been more concerned going to a restaurant. We went there as a group once, placed our order. Not kidding. The pasta meals came out in about 2.5 minutes later. That's crossing the line from good service to concerning service.
They're sitting in the microwave. Yeah. Wow.
Anyway, very fast meals.
I won't be going there, wherever it is. Unless they want to sponsor us, then I'll go there. Jojo, Mr. and Mrs. Captain, the Pierces.
You sent me this. What'd you call her?
She was decked out from head to toe in red, and he was like, had his 2-ton of hair. It was Red Riding Hood.
You can't get over Piercy and his and anyone associated with him in their kit.
They're different. They're different. Red Riding Hood and the Big Red Wolf. That's what they look like. They're on the...
It's a good opportunity to express yourself, isn't it?
It was, wasn't it?
Big night out.
That's right. And he does. He takes the opportunity, doesn't he? And what about the Antonio girls? Did you see them? Cara and...
I didn't take as much notice as you,
I don't think. I did. They're following on from the Pierces. The Antonio decked out in the Miami Vice suits, the Crockett and Tubbs. It's very good. Very good. So that was more interesting than the night, I thought, the red carpet. What about that video? Who was asking the stupid questions? Was that Tommy Fee?
No, I think it was someone else.
Oh, really?
You wouldn't have liked that, though.
No, that's right.
I did like that.
Good. Why would I not like that?
I don't know. You tend to... Everything that anyone else enjoys, like as a little cheap bit of fun, you seem to have a problem with.
Oh, is that right?
I just assume you'd have a problem with that as well. Who's your tip for the Doig next year?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm going to go Hayden Young.
That's a good call.
You?
I reckon it's going to be Brayshaw.
You're probably right.
I think he's had a season, like we said, that it was interrupted at the start. Yeah. And I don't know. I think when you're presenting, he presented the Doig to his teammate, and I'm sure they're very good mates and only want the best for one another. You'd have to come into next year with just a tiny chip on the shoulder, wouldn't you? Like, you know, you've taken what's mine, I'm getting it back. It would increase the kind of competition and the drive to be better between the two of them. Now that he's got someone in there who's gone and stamped their authority as an A-grade midfielder and taken his crown as kind of king of Frio for the year. I don't know. I feel like Andy Brayshaw will be in for a massive year next year.
Hmm. I don't know.
Because I've been one of the people all year to kind of say, you know, Sarong's an obvious captain, and it's just this recency bias that I, you know, can't remove from my head.
Yep.
But you forget how good he was the season previous, and I just think he's got that in him again. He'll reproduce that. He'll come out and he'll probably be the one.
I think it was about 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, Jada swung back to – I was with you, but I swung back to Brayshaw as captain. I think either of them could do it, but I think –
I'm still a Sarong as captain.
You're still a Sarong, yeah.
Can you imagine making that call, though?
I know. That's got to be a tough one.
How do they do that?
I don't know. Would they weaken and go co-captains?
I hope not.
No, me too. I hope they don't. But it is.
Captain guy. I think Pierce just keeps it for another year.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Yeah, they probably will, given that everyone else is calling for it to go to Brayshaw or Sarong. So they'll probably lock Pierce down for another year and then pass the baton on. But yeah, you're right. That's a dreadful decision to have to make. Oh, I don't
and it's not going to get any better, though. It's still going to be a shit decision to have to make next year.
Yeah. But I think what you were saying regarding, you know, about Andy Brayshaw, the year that he's had this year, we haven't acknowledged in judging his year this year what he did last year, and that's what he will get back to. And I think we'll be seeing halfway through 2024, we'll be going, oh, geez, Andy Brayshaw might have just taken the lead in the captaincy race. So that's where I'm coming from, Jebel.
The twos are still in full flight. The Peel Thunder will be taking on East Fremantle in the Waffle Grand Final. Pretty excited for my old mate, Milan Murdoch, even though he's not playing for Peel, he plays for East Fremantle. I could see him in a Grand Final. Good on Milan. I've never seen, you know, we coached him at Christchurch. Never seen anyone draw so many free kicks, but also give away free kicks.
Oh, really?
He'd be the most annoying guy to play against. Like, I reckon he would get given a 50-metre penalty to him every game and probably give one back every game.
What, is it a bit of antagonism?
Absolutely.
I get him.
It's good to watch, though.
Can he play? He obviously can play if he's playing.
Oh, he can play. He's not quite AFL size, but yeah, he can definitely play. Someone who has been producing all year down in the twos is Will Brody.
Yep.
He finds himself in a pretty interesting spot at Frio.
Mm.
Yeah. Like, people want to say that he's kind of dead and buried now, and, you know, you got him on a 4-year deal, and, you know, what are you going to do? He's just going to sit there. We'll trade him here. We'll trade him there.
Mm.
I tend to think that he's got a second win coming. Like, we're going to see him in the Frio team again. Probably next year, as a regular at some point.
As a regular?
I don't think... I truly believe that. I don't think that, like everyone says, that this is it.
Hmm. I don't think that's it, but I think... I think he's probably morphed into that depth player that we thought we were getting initially.
I don't know. I just think he's going to have... he's going to be one of the guys that pushes everyone else. He's going to have a huge off-season.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be one of the guys. Come round one next year, the name will be front and centre to kind of try and claim a spot.
Yeah,
the other one I think that will have a big year next year is Jagger O'Meara.
Yeah, he'll probably have a big year than this year, wouldn't he? You'd think. Mm. But again,
We've got a lot of guys. We've got a lot of improvement for within our list.
Yeah, that's right.
You can look down the list, and there's not too many guys you're going to say, well, he could have a better year. Even the top liners, even Sarong.
Yep.
Like, there's no way he's the full version of himself just yet. Same with Brayshaw.
No, absolutely not.
You know, Young's nowhere near as good as what he's going to be.
No.
Clark keeps getting better.
Yeah.
Tracy Amos keep getting better. We've got organic improvement in us that it's going to... I know, and it's not... Obviously, this year, improvement, not linear. It was reverse. Yeah. But, I mean, next year is hopefully the year we see the improvement materialise. But we've got so much organic improvement in us. We don't need to add too much. We just need to work hard and foster and nurture the talent we have to improve.
And that's what we've been banging on, for all year, about the age profile and the experience profile. That organic growth, it's there. It's going to come. And you're dead right. It's going to come in the areas that we need it without having to really go hard to replace or, you know, patch up or whatever. So 2024 is an exciting year for us. It really is. I still don't think we're there yet. You know, we'll be there yet. But I tell you what, they offer us $2 this year about for our playing finals. I'll be all over it. I'll be all over it because we'll make it next year. I've never been sure.
Back to Peel winning the grand final. Does it do anything for you?
About as much as Caleb winning the Doig.
I'd like to see him win. I'd enjoy seeing him win.
No, I do. I'm only mucking around. I would like to see him win. I just feel a little bit like how many AFL players have we got? It just doesn't feel an even competition, does it?
To be fair, I mean, East Freo broke the salary cap, so that kind of evens up a bit, doesn't it?
Did they really?
Well, aren't they being investigated for it? I think so. Something like that. Yeah. We've gone for a bit, but I've got some trade rumours to throw out. Do you want to do them quickly before we finish up?
Yeah.
All right. Mabi or Chol has been mentioned by Hazelbeers, one he thinks that Freo should look at getting in. Yes or no?
I don't know what it is, but I love Paul Hazelby as a player. I can't listen to him. I love the guy. I love him, but I can't. He's just coming up with too many of these.
I got no interest in Mabi or Chol.
None at all.
No. I don't even if they like was one of those things where they attached something to take him.
Yeah.
Like if he gets in the way of Tracy getting games or Amos getting games or anything like that, then yeah, it's a hard no from me.
And he's going to be going because didn't he leave Richmond when Hardwick was there? And now Hardwick.
It wasn't because of Hardwick, though, was it?
No, I'm not saying, but Hardwick wouldn't have let him go if he really wanted. Oh, right. You know?
Yeah, but also, I mean, they've got that many guys. And then they've got this kid who's ready to roll as a key forward. He'll come in at pick two or pick three or possibly even pick one this year in the draft in Walter. So I don't think Charles is going to be getting a look in anytime soon.
Yeah.
Trey Rusko from Collingwood is another Aquinas kid. I kind of couldn't believe he got drafted in the first place, to be honest. So definitely a no. He's a no from me. What about you? No, do you even know who he is?
No, I know who he is. I didn't know he was a Aquinas kid. No, I'm not. Not playing.
His teammate from the same team and also Jeremy Sharp's team, to be honest. So all three of those kids were on the same team. Devin Robertson, he's kind of been rumoured to go to West Coast, but he's also got thrown up in a couple of trade rumours to Freo somehow. He's a definite no for me as well.
Yeah, I don't think we need a Devin Robertson. No, not for me.
And the other one, Tyler Brockman, I know you like him from Hawthorn. He's kind of been more linked to West Coast, but there is the kind of trade rumour of Liam possibly putting Hawks down as one of the two clubs he wouldn't mind going to. So there is a tenuous link there. Would you do a Brockman for Henry swap or something around that?
I'd do that.
You like him, don't you?
I'm a Brockman fan. I just think he had an injury, you know, interrupted year this year. But I like him. There's something about him. He's got that little bit of X factor. So I'd do that. Do you like him?
I'd probably pass again, to be honest. Do you know what? I reckon our best trade weeks are the ones where we don't do very much.
Yeah. And probably
so I'm kind of hoping we just get this Liam thing done and then we just kind of pack our stuff up and, I don't know, go to the casino. There's a good aquarium in Melbourne. Then go have a look at some fish. Like, just don't talk to anyone.
No. Just lock it out.
We don't need to do anything clever or get creative at this point. We just need to trust what we've done over the last few years.
Yeah.
I think get the best deal we can for Liam, figure out how we're going to move on from there and then work with what we've got almost.
Yeah.
I really, the more we draft guys, you know, inside 20 of the draft, the less I'm interested in dudes that have been at other clubs.
Yeah.
With the exception of guys like Jackson who are a bit different.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
But just in general, like if you're looking to kind of moneyball a player or, you know, find a rough diamond in the back end of someone else's list, I'd rather leave it.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think we've shown in the last 5 years, admittedly we've had high currency, but it just go to the draft. We're good enough to find players even in those higher positions, in those higher draft picks. You know,
we were talking about what we wanted for Liam. Like, to be honest, these guys know the draft so well. If they know that they can pick a guy at 22 and 28 or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'll back them in to get whatever they want for Liam so they can pick the guys at the point in the draft that they're happy with. And, you know, if they think they can get a couple of guys who have got high-end talent and they can get them at a certain point in the draft where it doesn't matter, like we don't maybe we don't need a top 10 pick.
No, but that's right.
Yeah, I just like keep hitting the draft. We've done so well in the draft, and we, you know, like we haven't missed. Pick one that's missed out of these high picks. It just hasn't happened.
Just hasn't. No, that's right.
And those players, and I think I mentioned it, you know, when Sean Darcy was speaking at that dinner, the ownership they've got over the squad, especially the guys that have been there like 3-4 years now, they run the joint.
Yeah.
You know, I know Nat Fyfe's still there and Alex Pierce is captain, but the culture setting is done by Andy Brayshaw, Caleb Sarong, Hayden Young, Sean Darcy, these guys. Like, it's their club. So, if you can add to that, like, why wouldn't you be crazy not to at this point?
Well, it does. And it just keeps – you keep snowballing. You keep rolling it on, and you just keep adding it the right way. And it just – it prolongs that success you're going to have, that sustained success. So, I'd be doing it. Hey, Jojo, we didn't talk about Blakey Akers. We were going to cover him, but are we letting that go through to the keeper?
No, go. No, you can.
No, I just there's been a lot of I got on Twitter and then everyone's raving how good Blake Akers is and that best third rounder of all time, this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Have people gone a bit mad?
The Blake Akers trade still doesn't bother me. To be honest.
No, that's exactly right. I tell you what.
I reckon Peter Bell or Robert Walls. Oh, sorry, not Robert Walls. David Walls. They'd be losing a wink of sleep over it, to be honest.
No, they wouldn't. Absolutely wouldn't. He's had a good final series, but his game on the weekend was his 17th highest rating game of the season. So that sort of tells you, take out his mark and goal, which, you know, you do that in finals, a good thing. He wasn't having that great a game.
I messaged you about this, and you kind of said he's played well.
I didn't know you just meant that game. I thought you meant, like, people getting carried through the season.
He's been really good and well worth the third round for Carlton, absolutely. Considering where they're at, like, 100%. Like, you can say they got the better of that deal. That'd be hard to argue with. But for where we're at, it's fine. I've got no problem with what we did. But that was a great deal for Carlton, and he's paid them off. But
do you know what he did? Do you know what he did?
Just quickly though, Michael Voss after the game, they asked him what Blake Akers was doing up forward. He said he didn't know.
He didn't know. Is that what he said?
Something like that. Yeah.
Hey, you know what though? To his credit, he's been. All year, he's been getting back, helping out, keeping his wit and getting forward and doing what he can. He has been a really good pickup for him and he's contributing to the Blues. What he did surprise me with, Jojo, that goal that he kicked, I didn't know he had it in him. He kicked a dribble kick. This guy can't kick 30 metres without giving the marbles roof a nudge and he wins the final with a dribble kick. So one extreme to the other. So
it's funny the commentary. Like I like getting on Twitter while I'm just watching a footy game that I don't really care about and reading everyone's comments and whatnot. But people thinking that Freo fans would somehow be salty about the fact that he's doing well. Oh. I think majority of Freo fans really want to see him do well. Like there's no ill will to him. You watch Jesse Hogan play for GWS, I'm cheering him on. It makes me feel a little bit unwell that he couldn't do it for us. But, you know, I'm super happy for the guy to be playing the way he is. Where he kicked 4 goals, 4 on the weekend, took that screamer of a mark.
Yep.
He's been killing him. But you watch these teams and there's former Dockers everywhere. Yep. And I want to see him play well.
Yeah, me too, except that Adam Chera. But
he's starting to burn, honest.
He's the player we thought we were losing. We knew we were losing. He's become the player we knew.
Yeah, I know, but then I kind of convinced myself that it didn't matter. Not that it didn't matter, but, you know, everyone's, he's soft, you're a mama's boy. He's like, yeah, he is. he is. We don't need him. So stuff you, Chera.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, and then, he's had an unbelievable season. He's their best player.
You would not believe.
Apart from Kerno, but, In terms of in the engine room, he's got Cripps and Walsh covered, I reckon.
Got him covered easy, hasn't he? And Walsh, yeah. And he's doing the hard stuff too now. You know, like he's not just doing the outside work. He's really
good for a goal though.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Do you know the amount of words I've had to eat this year? Over the last 2 years, I've had to eat so many words. It's not funny. Are you talking about Jesse Hogan and GWS? You've got to hand it to them, Jojo. They lost Taranto, Hopper. Who else did they lose? Tanner Bruin. And not that, you know, he was anything super special, but for them to, I think, to play as well as they're playing and to stand up, and I just, you've got to hand it to them. I just think they've done exceptionally well. I reckon the re-emergence of Cornelio, he's had a major impact on GWS this year. And as you said, getting 48 goals out of Jesse Hogan, you know, that's been huge. So
I forget, someone was talking about this on the weekend and talking about GWS and the players they lost and how it potentially helped them. Because it gave some clarity to their midfield situation, yes, which was otherwise a little bit hazy in terms of them just having so many top liners. Like,
so what does it say?
You stick Cornelio back in there, and he knows that, you know, he's in there for good.
Yep.
Tom Green is, you know, if not the best inside mid rolling around, like he's pretty damn close. He's kind of what everyone thinks Paddy Cripps actually is, but Tom Green is that.
Yeah.
You know, Josh Kelly.
Kelly,
he's been amazing this year.
Yeah.
Everyone talked him up when he was going to go back to North Melbourne on a 5-year, $70 squillion deal. But he's had his best career. He's had a career year.
Yeah, definitely. And Whitfield stood up all year, you know.
Yeah, and Callan Ward as well.
Callan Ward, he's come back and had a cracker, hasn't he? And even Lockie Ash sweeping everything up across half back. So you're
right. Pretty weird. They're a pretty weird team. I reckon that when they played us, we were talking about how we were confused whether they were an emerging or kind of a rebuilding team, or whether they're having a crack now. And they really turned it on in the back end of the year, it became very clear. Like, their veteran and better players really stepped up and took charge. Sam Taylor coming back obviously has a massive impact for them down back.
Yeah.
But they got that Irish guy up forward. If he learns how to kick, he'd be a monster.
He'd be all right too. And then
he has so much of the footy.
And then they found Kieran Briggs. So
yeah.
Yeah, they've just done it well.
Hopefully he gets up. He injured the shoulder. They don't really have much behind him. Matty Flynn's not quite got it. But
Kieran Briggs.
Briggs came as a bolter. He always put himself in all Australian conversation.
He really has. He's been unbelievable. But what does that say? Does it say anything about Taranto and Hopper? Or is it just...
No, I don't think so. What, you bad? No, I think Hopper's more like a Dylan Shield level player. But I think Taranto, you wouldn't want to lose Taranto if you didn't have to.
Yeah, gotcha.
He was as good as there was going early in the year.
Yeah, he was too. That's right. But he's not...
And that's when you talked about the fluctuating form of Richmond. When he was he was firing, they were cooking.
Yeah, that's right.
But he just went off the boil a little bit, like the whole team. But no, I think Taranto's the real deal. I think Hopper you kind of live with losing.
Yep.
But I think Taranto you definitely Taranto's want to a keep, loss. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, no, just wondering. The other thing I love about GWS, Jojo, it's not a GWS podcast, but I love their Twitter. They don't hold back, do they? You know, the punters accuse them of being, arrogant and ignorant and, losing without humility winning without humility. You can't control perceptions, but I think you can sort of, what do you call it, compartmentalize intentions, if you can say, you know what I mean? They're a club that no one really cares about. So I think they're trying to build their own presence and, maybe through rivalry, trying to build rivalry. A bit controlled.
Well, also now there's context to their work. Like, everyone knows it's lighthearted and a bit of fun, so they can actually go a little bit harder.
A little bit harder,
and still has to accept that it's lighthearted and a bit of fun.
Yep. But it's across the board with their banners and with everything. I really like it. I just think more clubs should do it. More clubs should just.
Well, I remember I forget who it was at Uni Footy Club. It was one of the old boys there. Was the boss of Sydney, and he came and gave a talk at some function.
Mm.
And they were talking about the way they grew Sydney was They wanted him to be everyone's second club.
Getting
a broader level of support across the country. And I reckon that's what kind of GWS is trying to do.
Okay.
You know, like if your club's not in anymore, stick on a grey and orange beanie and get behind us kind of business.
Yeah. That's probably working.
Doesn't seem like it's the worst strategy.
No, that's right. Because I wouldn't mind. I like watching GWS play, so I wouldn't mind them, you know, getting there with what they've done. You know, though, the thing you always come back to with GWS is that they've always had a highly talented base, even from day one, haven't they?
So they have. But I mean, they'd heard the same. I was talking to my dad about this on the weekend.
Yeah.
And what's the difference between them and Gold Coast? It's like GWS just identify their absolute top liners and they hang on to them.
Yep.
And they're not afraid to lose like a Hopper. They're not afraid to lose a Dylan Scheel.
Yep.
Like they'll lose the guys that aren't the absolute best. And what they've done more recently is filled out their roster or their playing list with good role players. They haven't tried to get 18 stars in all 18 positions on the field.
Yes.
Because they've understood better than Gold Coast that you probably need like 10, 12, 13, 14 really good players.
Yeah.
But you need workarounds.
Workhorses.
You need the guys doing the hard yards.
Yes.
And top five draft picks typically will want their name in lights. They won't want to be working in the background, getting a pat on the back from their teammate when the cameras are off.
No, that's right.
So,
yeah.
So, I think that's what GWS has done better.
Plus,
they folded a lot of their players back into the draft and gone to the draft again and just kept on cycling through.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than giving out 20-year deals on big money and then having to attach pick five to get rid of them 3 years later.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, the Gold Coast did a lot of bringing players in, didn't they, early on?
GWS did it early on, but they just got in veterans on no money that cost them zero.
Didn't
Chad Corns go there?
I get too, didn't he? I forgot about that.
Then those kind of guys, and they'll hang around for a couple of years and get in the coaching panel.
Yeah.
I think they've done a really good job.
Yep, they have.
Do you reckon there's a future for them in terms of being anything more than just bulking out the TV deal? There's like 2.5-3 million people in what you would call Greater Western Sydney.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Getting 25,000 to a game out of that catchment surely isn't...
Should be achievable.
That should be achievable, shouldn't it?
Especially, I mean, success will bring them. If they, let's say they go all the way this year, which they're highly capable to do so from the position they're in right now. Nothing breeds interest like success. So, I think so. I think the that population area has just gone bananas. It's growing at a rapid rate. So, yeah, I think so. I think there's plenty of scope for them there. So, we'll see. Hey, just before we go, Joe, West Coast Eagles.
You've said that like three times.
I know. West Coast Eagles. Did you see they dropped?
No.
Cut. Petrescu, Seaton, Xavier O'Neill, Greg Clark, Connor West, and my man Izzy Winder. Cut all five of them. And I think was it Nizzy or whoever it was? They've each left an impression on the club. They didn't make life membership as a collective. What impression could you leave on a club? Like, you know, jeez.
You've got to feel for Greg Clark, don't you? I mean, what game? It was a game right at the end when, was it Brady Hoff who took too many puffs on the puffer and had to
bail out? Yeah.
Bail out of the lineup and Greg Clark was player number 23 as the sub.
Sub, yeah.
They just leave that sub vest on, thanks. Yeah. Get someone else in. They brought in Jack Williams. If you ever were wondering if the writing was on the wall at any point, that's a fair indication, isn't it?
Did they really give him a chance? I mean, surely they must know, I don't know, but
So he was a midfielder for Subi, I'm pretty sure, and that's why he was picked.
Oh.
I'm not sure he ever really got a crack in the midfield.
No, did he? Yeah, jeez.
And I think the other funny thing is, like, Winder not so much, but Connor West was kind of pumped up at points saying, you know, we found one here.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know. They could cut another 10 guys. You wouldn't.
Easy.
The one that I'm pretty disappointed about, because When it was thrown up that he wanted to come home and Carlton didn't want him anymore and Petrescu's Seaton, I always really liked him in his draft year.
I remember his
I loved him. And I don't know, something's gone wrong there. And you know, I knew that the Dockers wouldn't get him because it was a wrong decision. You didn't pick that guy up.
Yeah.
But I reckon that's a sad end to a footy career. I don't think he gets another AFL crack. He had a lot of ability.
What happened?
It's a weird one.
It is a weird one, isn't it? It really is. So, yeah, it is a shame.
West Coast probably wasn't the best club for him to end up at after being at Carlton. But
yeah.
Would you be into like a Waterman or someone like that if West Coast didn't get him re-signed?
Is he any, really any good?
He had moments, didn't he?
He's probably one of those players, probably one of those moment-type players. But I mean, he's probably not a bad one to have on your list as a, you know, a filler if you need someone to come in. But if you fall into that sort of, you know, position, but yeah, probably not. Probably, I don't really go back to what we were saying. Let's just keep.
It's a definite no from me. I just heard his name. Someone saying that like we should look at him. Not for me.
Not for me. No.
No.
Anyway.
All right, that's a good comeback. That's about an hour, 10 minutes of rubbish. Give the people what they want. I can't believe there was people actually tweeting and emailing asking when we're doing a next podcast.
People are magnificent, Joe. People that take the time to listen to that and then email and ask what's going on, where are we? I would have thought they'd be thinking, "Thank God we don't have to listen to those two idiots again." Listeners' support is. I still can't get over it. I still can't get over the numbers that listen to Australia, and I'm very, very appreciative.
Well, it's probably not that many at this point in the
podcast. No, they've all switched off now.
Yeah. So. Do you know what I want, though? And we've got to put the call out on social media, and maybe we'll do it before we do a podcast next week. I want to get some fake trades happening from the listeners. Like, people send in some fake trades so we can talk about them.
Good idea.
Because we don't have much on the line this year in trade period. I know we got to trade Liam, but we get to relax and have a bit of fun. Yeah. Last year was stressful. We had Rory, we had Griff. It was all happening.
It was, wasn't it?
We had to bring in Jackson. I think hopefully we'll just get to sit and chill and watch everyone else panic.
Yeah.
This year.
Do you know out of the way that just you talking those trades? Blake Acres is the only one that we've gone, he probably could have still been of benefit here. The rest
We would have been a better team with Rory Lobb, sorry.
What, this year?
Yeah.
Not even.
Not as a ruck, but as a forward. He was decent. You gotta give credit where it's due.
Yeah, but if we did that, we wouldn't have got 40 plus goals out of joy.
Yeah, but you're saying whether we'd be a better team. Rory Lobb as a mature forward target would have given us more benefit.
Yeah, but it's still the right move.
One of the two young guys.
Was the right move.
No, I'm not saying it wasn't the right move, but you can't say that. Like, that's a step back to go forward, whether you like Rory Lobb or not. For the season just gone.
Yes, definitely. Okay.
But no, are you talking about whether you do the trade again?
Yeah.
Well, there's no way they're going to... They didn't want to keep Blake Acres. It's patently obvious because the price wasn't even that high.
No, that's right. No, I'm not saying Blake Acres. I'm just saying Rory Lobb, Griffin Logue. I know poor Griff did his knee.
I would like to keep Griff.
Yeah, so would I. But I don't think we've lost enormous amounts. I don't think it's going to hurt us long term. Put it that way.
No, but I think that was the kind of...
He was that was sort the, of the team.
That was the. If you spoke to anyone who followed Freo closely, everyone was of full understanding of that. We traded out some experience and some depth to give opportunity for the most part, not really for anything of materiality coming back our way. I know we got something for Rory, but like it was more trading out players that were to roadblocks for growth of individuals that were already there.
That's right. Anyway. It had to be done.
We're a better place for it.
We are.
Mate, until next week, I've had enough of talking to you.
Next week? We're going again next week.
Yeah.
What's on next week? What do we got?
Yeah, I don't know. Find something.
Of course we will.
Yep. Got to give the people what they want. Indeed. Are you still down with the restump?
Look, as long as we're opportunistic and versatile, because our great club's chosen route to success seems to always be under construction.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time. So, yeah.